Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Thursday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
So glad to have you all here. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world in the chat room, whether you're watching us live on Rumble, on YouTube, on X. Let us know. We've got a very busy show for you on this Thursday. We're going to look at the big revelations on the January 6th cover-up and hoax as it relates to the pipe bomber and what we now know, according to FBI whistleblowers, as well as members of Congress, as this story continues to fall apart for the government this January 6th. Narrative is quickly unraveling. This is an unbelievable story, so we'll bring you the latest on that.
Plus, who is the man who dares to run against Vladimir Putin? Is he the next Alexei Navalny? Do Russians really love him? Because if he's against Putin, our media is going to love him. We're inviting Mike Jones from Russia to tell us, how popular is this guy? How much do we need to know about him?
I guarantee you this guy will be on the front cover of like Time magazine.
He will get an Oscar for making a movie about,
I just saw like Antony Blinken the other day on the front cover of Time magazine. I'm like, my God, they'll put Zelensky on there. This guy running against Putin will probably be on there. We'll get to that
story. That's going to be hard for Zelensky to be in that guy's shadow.
I know exactly.
David's bird, by the way.
And we're also going to talk about Justin Trudeau and the ballot harvesting possibilities that could unfold with the election reforms in Canada. What is the Trudeau government trying to pull in Canada? By the way, Canada, don't they have one of the best election systems in the world? Like, why do we need to reform it and model it more after the United States? All of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Bird is a weird animal to just randomly have. Like the one day we're sitting here talking and David, it sounds like Star Wars guns, like pew, 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 pew. I'm like, what is that? He's like, yeah, I got a bird. I'm like, what? When did you? It's like, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I should have mentioned I also got a turtle. Like
what? It makes me
alligator gets here next week.
It punctuates our good points whenever we make a good point. Pew, pew, pew. Good job.
Yeah, Matthew. You're just watching this bird. We should be clear. You're just watching this bird temporarily, but it's hilarious. I'm like, yes. When did you get a bird? Yeah, it's like we got snakes. Yeah, we got a very busy show for you on this Thursday. Thank you guys for joining us. Hey, by the way, because we support the farmers and all of these farmers' protests, I don't know if you've seen over the past 24 hours, multiple arrests now, farmers being arrested. Europe is rising up. These farmers all across Europe are rising up from Liechtenstein to
Brussels.
Lithuania.
Being pushed back by police with rubber bullets at this point. The last we heard, we're going to bring you this story as it develops over the next, well, we have been. We've been following it for weeks and weeks, and it continues. Later today, we're supposed to hear from the German government about what they're going to do about it. Do they actually hear them? Is something going to happen? So we'll continue to follow that story.
But my point is that we have a new Redacted store. We have a brand new T-shirt that just rolled out, the No Farmers, No Food T-shirt. So we're really excited about this. I just ordered a short sleeve and a long sleeve version. Very exciting about this. I love the designs. Grim did the designs on this and looks fantastic. So just head on over to redactedstore.com. You can check out all of our other merch over there as well.
I will not comply
T-shirts, the hoodies, the mugs. Yeah, it's masculine. Show that you're a man.
We should get some feminine belly shirts too or something like that. Sometimes I'm like, I'm the only girl around here. I'm like, oh yeah, that's very manly.
Get one of those like belly shirt ones you tie in the center, like the farmer
we
girls.
Could do that.
Yeah, like a little cowgirl hat.
We could take the overalls off and have him just be bare-chested with a tattoo that says no farmers, no food for the ladies.
The bird likes that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I guess. Yeah. Just so it's for the ladies. It'd be a bare-chested farmer. Yeah.
Got it.
See, yeah, you're following. Yeah.
But not for us to wear. All right. We'll work on that.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
We'll work on the J-Lo brand.
All right. We've got a lot of news to get to. Let's get into it tonight, and let's talk about the January 6th pipe bomb narrative is about to collapse. The story is being buried, of course, by the mainstream media, so we want to shed as much light on it as possible here on Redacted. We now have some bombshell developments in the January 6th pipe bomb hoax and the FBI cover-up portion of the story that we want to bring to you. We now know incontrovertibly that the FBI participated in the smokescreen and potential cover-up of this hoax. We'll get to that part of the story in a moment. And we now know, by the way, the identity of the guy who was seen here tipping off police and the Secret Service about the pipe bomb. You can see him walking over to the police and then to the Secret Service and letting them know about that pipe bomb that was sitting on the bench of the DNC right out in front. We also now know that thanks to Congressman Thomas Massie last night, we know this about the backpack guy. Of course, all of this makes sense. So here is the backpack guy, the original backpack guy on January 5th, of course, dropping the bombs in multiple locations. Of course, all of this makes sense when you think about it for a second. Why can't the FBI track down and then you find backpack guy who planted the pipe bombs? They have video footage of the guy, as you can see right here, leaving the bombs. They have footage of him going to a car. They have footage of him using the subway. They have cell phone tracking data. He pulls the phone out while he's sitting on the bench. And the bomb component parts that would lead them directly to this guy. Now, according to former FBI agent, FBI bomb expert, those component parts are like having a fingerprint. You know exactly where they came from.
Every destructive device has a signature, and it's something that is pretty much unique to the person who put that bomb together. The components of the bomb, I've worked bombing cases in the past where that the components have actually led us to the neighborhood of where the bomber was. Here, you know, the FBI has the components. They've gone through them.
Yeah, they do. And it's really surprising that nearby the FBI, they use the exact same pipe bombs at their FBI training facility.
Yeah, but that guy's got a super stealth outfit of a gray sweatshirt and sweatpants.
Okay.
That's, you know.
Yeah.
It's like ninja level disguise.
But the fact that these particular pipe bombs are the exact ones that they use at the FBI training facility nearby.
Like, yeah, that's also very fishy, isn't it?
Like, if you had to put this two and two together, you're like, okay, where did you come up with this idea? And oh, by the way, they don't work. They're not real pipe bombs. So where did you get these phony looking pipe bombs? Down to the wiring and the kitchen timers that the FBI uses down the street at their training facility. Where did you get these? So the FBI can continue this charade, and they don't know who this guy is. But of course they do. They know exactly who this guy is. But we're not stupid. They continue to spin this yarn. Why don't we know who the backpack guy is? Why don't we? They know who he is. The answer is because they don't want to let us know. They were involved, of course, from the very beginning in this cover-up and hoax, and they don't want us to know the involvement of this. Just for some context here, here is backpack guy.
Tonight, the FBI releasing new video of the person suspected of planting those pipe bombs the night before the Capitol riot. And the FBI officially confirming those pipe bombs placed at the Democratic and Republican National Committee headquarters could kill.
These pipe bombs were viable devices that could have been detonated, resulting in serious injury or death.
The video offering specific detail on the suspect's movements. At 7:40, the suspect seen walking along this residential street. Investigators interested in their somewhat unusual gait. Moments later, a person walking a dog passes by. By 7:52, the suspect has made it to the DNC headquarters. The suspect sits on a bench and appears to fumble with that backpack. A bomb is later discovered in the bush adjacent to the bench. At 8:14, the same suspect walking down an alley next to the RNC headquarters. A bomb placed there as well before exiting the area, walking past the Capitol Hill Club. The FBI hinting at a profile as it asked for the public's help.
They want your help until they don't. So here's the profile they put out. Seeking information, pipe bombs in Washington, D.C. Here's the guy. Here are the sneakers. Here's the Nike Air sneakers, the Michael Jordan sneakers. Here are the pipe bombs that conveniently look exactly like the ones we use at our training facility down the street. According to friend of the show, Kyle Serafin, former FBI agent Kyle Serafin, whistleblower Kyle Serafin, American hero Kyle Serafin, he led FBI surveillance teams. He told the Daily Wire that shortly after January 6th, a counterintelligence team met him at a firehouse in Falls Church, Virginia, to brief him on the next surveillance target. What was their next mission? Who was that target? Well, none other than the person of interest in the pipe bombing story. Was it the man himself? We don't know, but it was a person of interest. Kyle Serafin was never confirmed as to whether or not this was the actual guy or not, but it was the person of interest. They had security footage that allowed Kyle and the team to follow this guy and backpack guy down into the metro station after he planted the bombs, and then they identified the fare card that he used to get on the metro. That fare card then allowed them to determine that the person got off a metro stop in Northern Virginia, where surveillance footage showed the person entering a car. Both the car and the fare card were then in the name of the same exact human being, who is a retired Air Force Chief Master Sergeant, who is now working as a contractor with a security clearance, Kyle said. Now, Serafin and his team were assigned to stake out the person's row home for a number of days. They were watching him. But the FBI then blocked the request to interview this person. And then they were called off the target. Nope, all right, you're done. You got a little too close to the stove. Completely taken off the case. And then sent to look into other January 6th individuals who were just around the Capitol that day. Other, as Kyle described it, low priority targets. You're literally watching the guy who planted the bombs. Probably. Person of interest. But you're pulled off of that. So what happened? Well, higher-ups told them to stand down. Nothing to see here. I guess they were running this like charade and thought, well, that's enough. An even bigger bombshell, though, was dropped last night by Congressman Thomas Massey. Actually, I don't know that it's a bigger bombshell. They're both huge, right? Who is the mysterious guy tipping off police? You can see here in just moments, he walks up to, of course, the police car. And then in the black car, here he comes. This is the other backpack guy. He walks up and lets the police know at 1:05 p.m., precisely the same time that stuff was happening at the Capitol building, right? So he there talks to the police officers. They don't do anything. They continue eating their lunch and they sit there for another few minutes. Oh, there's a pipe bomb over there on the bench right next to our cars. And oh, and by the way, Kamala Harris is in the building. That's her Secret Service detail.
That's cool.
So then he walks around the other side and then nothing happens.
I'm going to finish my lunch.
I'm just going to hang out for another few minutes. Nothing big deal. So who is this mysterious guy tipping off police that there's a pipe bomb? Well, Thomas Massey asked FBI Director Christopher Wray that very question. Who is this guy, and why won't you tell us who he is? Watch.
Who walked by that bench and then went up to the police and the detail. Didn't do that accidentally. They had a purpose in mind, and that what transpired after that was the result of information that person gave to them. If that person found the pipe bomb, would they be a suspect?
Well, again, I don't want to speculate about specific individuals. I will tell you that we have done thousands of interviews, reviewed something like 40,000 video files, of which this is one, assessed 500-something tips.
Have you interviewed that person? Devices.
We have conducted all logical investigative steps and interviewed all logical individuals at this
then
point.
Then you need, it's 900 days. You need to tell us what you found because we're finding stuff you haven't released into the public.
So, of course, that was last July. Well, Massey finally found out who he was. Who was that guy? Who was Backpack Guy? And told Matt Gaetz this last night on his show. Watch.
You recently met with Capitol Police.
Correct. Today.
Today. And what did you learn in that meeting?
I learned that Backpack Guy, January 6th Backpack Guy, not to be confused with January 5th Backpack Person, Backpack Guy was a non-uniform, you know, plain clothes police officer, in the employ of the Capitol Hill Police.
What?
The person who found the pipe bomb. The person who, D'Antuono, who was leading the investigation, say, oh, yeah, the person who found it, it'd be Investigation 101 that they would be a suspect initially until ruled out. You're saying that person was an undercover, plainclothes Capitol Police officer, and the Capitol Police confirmed that to you today?
They confirmed that to me today, yes.
Okay.
What? I mean, what? And so to Thomas Massie's point, what the hell? It seemed like when he was interviewing Chris Wray, he said, this guy had a purpose. He knew exactly what he was doing. He walks up, he sees this pipe bomb, he goes directly to the police, he goes right to the under, he goes, then he has the wherewithal. Like, if you don't know who these people are, right, do you think to also go to the black car and talk to the Secret Service? No, you're like kind of panicking. I don't know what you're going to do. He knows exactly where he's going, what to do. And it's precisely at the same time that stuff is happening at the Capitol building. What the hell? So this is an unbelievable story. Darren Beatty, of course, from Revolver News, who has been all over this story from the very beginning. He, you know, he has kept this story front and center like no one else. He's done an amazing job. Darren's going to be on the show next week. Darren said this last night. He said, the plot thickens. Damning new details emerge in the January 6th pipe bomb cover-up. Before learning of the information in this piece, we would have said the chance of January 6th pipe bombs being a hoax and cover-up were 99%, leaving a 1% chance that some bizarre, exotic, but plausible and innocent explanation could be given for the anomalies we've covered. Now we're in a position to rule out the remaining 1% of doubt. The January 6th pipe bombs are 100% a hoax and 100% a cover-up. What's more, we know who is covering it up. Stay tuned, he says. When this fully blows up, it'll be the biggest story in the country and the biggest scandal in recent American history. Of course, the mainstream media won't cover the story.
They don't give a crap.
They don't give a crap, but we do, and we're going to continue to stay on this story. I said Darren Beatty from Revolver News is going to join us next week here on the show as this story develops. I mean, there's a couple of, I mean, we have so many questions about it, right? But one thing that absolutely stands out to me, the Secret Service, and if I've gone to presidential events, I've, you know, covered presidential speeches, of course, and the Secret Service arrives 3 days ahead of time to do sweeps, to secure the area, right? And not every situation can they do that. Big events, of course, they're doing that. But Kamala Harris, vice president-elect, is there in the building. The Secret Service arrived hours beforehand to do a sweep of this building. They're literally parked right next to a pipe bomb. Really? The Secret Service is parked next to a pipe bomb. And it wasn't like it was hidden in the bushes. It was out in plain sight by the park bench.
Yeah, and there's footage of them actually letting kids walk across the street right past where the bomb is.
After, exactly, not before.
After
that backpack guy goes up and tells them, yes, you see a group of school children just walking casually across the street, and they are there. The Secret Service just standing there on the street. Now, I've heard people say, well, they didn't want to probably panic and panic children. No, you don't have to panic anybody, but just directing the children away from the scene. Like, that's not like, oh my God, there's a bomb. They're not going to do that. But they could say, children, we kindly ask you to cross over the other side of the street, you know, and police officers are driving by. There's a police car that drives by up the street on its way to presumably to the Capitol building. You don't mean you could park one of those SUVs right there blocking that intersection? It's
I'm sorry, but an unknown explosive device. If you know there's an unknown explosive device, that's one of those points where I think you don't want to tell people, no, calmly just walk. It's like, get out of here.
Get the heck out
you
of
want
here.
People go. Panicked at that point. Get the heck out of here. Go. You know, like, it's not like, okay, everybody just calmly walk the other way. We've got an unknown explosive device. No, panic. That's a good time for it.
Yeah. I mean, and also think about it as a father, right? What I would do if I saw children walking towards a bomb.
Right.
I mean, I would go out in the middle of traffic and stop people from driving, and I'd direct the kids like down the block.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to like panic them. Like, you got to run right now, kids. You know, you 7-year-olds. Like, but I'd run the other way and carry
these
kids out of here.
It's human instinct to know if there's danger in this direction, stop other humans going that direction.
Right.
Like,
it's instinctual.
My 7-year-old, we were on a walk and there was a bear. And we turned around, there was a lady running, and she was like this, we got to stop that lady from running towards the bear. Like, a child knows this, right?
Right,
you
exactly.
Don't let people go anywhere near danger. We all should know this collectively.
It's an unbelievable story, and the fact that we know who this guy is. I mean, we know who this bomber is at this point, right? I mean, you have the FBI trying to hide this now, and I'm sure it's only a matter of time now until we get a name. But I mean, I think the revelation, though, that we learned from Kyle Serafin is amazing, that this guy was a retired Air Force Chief Master Sergeant who is now working as a contractor with a security clearance. Okay. One of the biggest cover-ups, and as Darren Beatty said, one of the biggest scandals in American history. We'll see if the American media, the Western media, covers it. It's an unbelievable story. Let us know your thoughts on this story. We've got more news to get to here on your Thursday.
Right. So we're going to talk about who is this man who dares to try to run for president in Russia against Vladimir Putin. The Western media will no doubt be making him a media darling. I use this phrase a lot. The chat room doesn't like it when I use it. I don't mean we love these people. I mean the media loves these people and tries to assume you do too. That's the correct use of media darling, right? Yeah. I love when we play this game. This is my favorite game.
Maybe you can
come
choose
up
another
with a media darling. Oprah Winfrey. Go ahead, Clayton.
Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama. David, come on. Media darling. Favorite game.
Zelensky.
Zelensky. Yeah. Philip.
Oh, David just took mine. Bill Nye.
I'll get back.
AOC. Yeah, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Okay. All right. So anyway, we're going to see who this new media darling is going to be shoved down your throat coming up in a minute. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Bio Optimizers, because if one of your New Year's resolutions is to be healthy and sleep well, well, of course, you know you need to get restful sleep. And a great way to do that is by taking magnesium in order to have optimal sleep. Now, let me tell you, I took this last night because I was obsessed about a leak in my backyard. Stupid, but I just couldn't sleep. I found myself counting sheep at 1:30 in the morning. So I reached for my magnesium breakthrough. I took them and then I was out in minutes, even though I was so fixated on this stupid little thing. And I was like, this is not going to work. I was out. It worked. I'm telling you. There are 7 different forms of magnesium in this supplement, and they're involved in over 300 enzymatic reactions in the body. Pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded when you take magnesium, but you know what it feels like when you don't sleep, when you stay up wondering about a leak in the backyard, then you feel like crap the next day. So this helps everything from metabolism to stress levels to just stopping to fixate on the leak in the backyard. You can see I'm not doing a good job of it right now. And let's face it, even if your 2024 resolution is not to focus on your health, but how are you going to achieve all your big goals? Take names, kick butt, you know, without quality sleep and stress management. So do yourself a favor and make Magnesium Breakthrough part of your daily routine this year so you can get the vitality you need to conquer your dreams. Just go to biooptimizers.com/redacted right now. Enter promo code redacted to get 10% off your order. Once again, that's biooptimizers.com/redacted. Who is the man who dares run for president against Vladimir Putin? Boris Nadezhdin is raising signatures to make a run for the presidency. That means our Western media will love him automatically. They're calling him the anti-war candidate, that he's risking his life by running for president. Joining us from Russia is Redacted correspondent Mike Jones to break down these headlines. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the media is saying that people are risking their very lives and safety by even signing up to support this guy. So can you tell us, is that the case? Is that what you see in Moscow? And who is this guy? Can you give us a brief summary?
Well, first of all, this guy was not just a new name for me. I actually asked around other Russians saying, you know, forgive my ignorance, but who is this guy Boris Nadezhdin? Roughly translated, his surname means hope in Russian. And the answers that I've received are, we don't know. And this was actually admitted in, I believe it was a Washington Post article, where it said that most Russians don't know of this man, much less care for him. The Washington Post was trying to style this as a protest vote of some sort, given that Nadezhdin is promising to not only end the SMO and enter peace talks with Ukraine, but also release political prisoners, including the West's darling, Alexei Navalny, of course.
Okay, let me clarify when you say SMO, that's what we call the war in Ukraine. In Russia, it's called the Special Military Operation, the SMO. And Alexei Navalny, also presented as what I like to refer to as a media darling, means the media loves him and tells you you should love him, when he only has about a 3% support and only in urban centers in Russia. So he's only a media darling in the West. I'm sorry I interrupted, but go ahead.
No, thank you for clarifying. Yes. And again, with the case of Navalny, often labeled the opposition leader, which then betrays the West's lack of knowledge of the support of parties in Russia. We have Putin's party, obviously, with the majority, the second, and what you'd classify as the opposition being the Communist Party. Navalny, as far as I know, is not a communist. However, the West incorrectly labels him as this opposition leader. That leads us to these other candidates. You and your audience may recall Ekaterina Duntsova, a female journalist who came out of nowhere, very similar manifesto, ending the SMO, the special military operation, the conflict in Ukraine, and yada, yada, yada. She, by her own admission, made a mistake in filing her application to be a candidate and was therefore refused. The West, of course, jumped upon that immediately, saying this was evidence of corruption and rigging elections. And now we have Boris Nadezhdin, who again has just come out of nowhere, actually a physicist by training, and served one term in the State Duma 20 years ago. So he's been recycled and placed here. He's being stylized again as this protest vote against Putin. But as soon as the West holds anyone like Duntsova or Nadezhdin now up on a pedestal, that's actually highly counterproductive to the Russian people. Once they see that, that arouses suspicion. They therefore know this person is quite possibly a Western shill. Now, if I use a reverse analogy, look what happened to Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson in the West as soon as Dmitry Medvedev praised their words or actions. They were immediately labeled Putin puppets and shills for Russia and propagandists. We see the same effect now that's rapidly coming into Russia, where as his name, Nadezhdin, is being repeated and certainly publicized in Western media, it arouses that same suspicion in the Russian people. Now, for the West to then claim about, oh, how come he hasn't been jailed and all these things, which he is saying, oh, I don't know why I haven't been treated the same way as Navalny. The West tries to make that out like, oh, wow, yes, he's a real truth teller and he's risking his life. He's in jeopardy. Absolutely not. Again, let's look at the other facts. In recent polling, President Putin has an above 80% approval rating and has collected, as an independent candidate, it has to be noted, 3.5 million signatures to support his candidacy. Why would you need to rig any elections? And why would you be threatened by some outsider who's just come out of nowhere? The Russian people, as I've said in previous interviews with you, have it's been proven to them that Putin was right in the past when perhaps they didn't believe him. The West, in the way they've treated recently Russian athletes, stripping them of medals. It's very clear to Russians what the West thinks and feels about them. And then we have in these Western articles talks of expats, Russians who have fled. Now, that's quite possibly true that Russians in the in places like Tbilisi and Georgia and other countries, maybe they are signing up for this guy. And again, as the Washington Post said, they don't know who he is. They just know that he's against Putin. So the risk is, however, that with funding and support outside of Russia, it could, by Russian laws, be seen as a foreign agent. And especially if you're donations, there is a finite sum that can be raised. I've had the same problem when raising donations for Donbass. And that is a legitimate protection and mechanism against NGOs and other interfering organizations in Russia. And of course, right. we can predict how the West might react if Nadezhdin is found in breach of such mechanisms and laws.
Oh, they won't care. Alexei Navalny is foreign supported, has accepted aid from United States-linked agencies. So no, they don't care about that at all. If you want to know the truth about Alexei Navalny, I refer to the great Jacques Bode book about Alexei Navalny and how much of a joke it is. Now, you and I, speaking of funny jokes, we had a little chuckle over this CNN piece that presented it as dangerous to oppose and run against Putin at all. The reporter asks a hilariously led question saying, why is the Kremlin allowing you to run? Is it a ploy to make it look like democracy? I present you this question. Is it maybe democracy? I want to show this little clip, and then as we come back, you can respond to that.
He has united the old guard of the Russian opposition, including key allies of jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny, his wife Yulia adding her signature on Wednesday, and exiled oligarch Mikhail Khodorkovsky. He's now racing to collect the required 100,000 signatures with strict regional quotas by the end of January.
People are saying that there's a deal, perhaps, with the Kremlin to allow your campaign to go ahead to create the illusion of a real democracy, or that they are using this as a way to distract the anti-Putin electorate. What do you say to those theories?
I am absolutely sure the situation will change, because a lot of people now in Russia, which started to see me in YouTube, in TV, in Telegram, they begin believe me.
That is rather farcical, isn't it? Gosh, choice. And again, let's not forget that the Communist Party is also running. Their candidate has been put forward, among other parties as well. So yes, there is choice. But the truth is, the overwhelming majority of the country is very clearly supporting President Putin. And that's not because they have any guns pointed at them or they're told on media what to think. That is because they're seeing as I've said, the Western actions and the benefits to the Russian economy. The IMF now has revised its forecast and increased it, I believe, to 2.6% growth for the Russian economy. What's not to like about that with this low unemployment? Okay, it's causing problems for Nabiullina in the central bank with inflation, but wages are going up. The state subsidies for families, that's also being indexed and increased. So life is improving for Russians. Why would you then change course and skip to an unknown, untested individual and just roll the dice on that person in the middle of a very serious existential threat to the country? I don't think that's a really wise choice, and it's thoroughly understandable why people would stay with the tried and tested candidate, especially for now, until things are going. The CNN article talking about how, Russians would want the conflict to end and, the territories returned. I don't believe that for one second. The people of the new territories, they wouldn't want to go back to the Kiev regime. They've suffered that for 10 years. And if you're to believe the Western reports of all the horrendous losses that Russia supposedly suffered from across the country as well, many volunteers coming from the other side of the world almost, over near Vladivostok and these other poorer districts as well, volunteering for very good money, around 200,000 rubles a month. Do you think those families, if they have lost people, will just go, never mind, we'll go with Nadezhdin. He's better than Putin. At least the conflict will stop. I don't think so. I think once this blood has been spilled, people want to see it through to the end, and ideally to a comprehensive, decisive victory, as is predicted and forecast.
Right. And so when the Western media is calling this guy the peace candidate, the anti-war candidate, what CNN tells us is that he will immediately go to peace talks with Ukraine. It's as if they've studied zero, because Putin has been continuously offering peace talks, and it's Vladimir Zelensky who has outlawed them, who has signed a law saying that it is illegal in Ukraine to attend any peace talks with Russia. So how would this guy get Zelensky to the table when Zelensky has tied himself to the floor?
I believe the devil is in that part where Zelensky outlawed peace talks with President Putin. It was specifically with Vladimir Putin whilst he's in power in Russia. So you can see where the West wants that regime change so badly. So that is the small detail, as I understand it as well. And you're absolutely right. And there's no admission or acknowledgement of the Istanbul peace talks around March. Last year, around at the beginning of the SMO, where it could have all been resolved. Potentially, there was a draft initial agreement, which President Putin held up at one of his conferences. We got this far before it was torpedoed by Boris Johnson and those who offered this blank check to Zelensky. There's talk of peace talks. And it's still to this day, President Putin has not ruled out the possibility or even the desire to reach a peaceful conclusion.
Right. And also, it's worth pointing out that Parliament in Russia voted for the special military operation at the request of the mayors in the Donbas region. It was not just the whim of Vladimir Putin, who likes war and thought that would be a fun way to spend the next 2 years. So, it's missing context, and they treat us like we're stupid. So we're not stupid. Thank you so much for joining us. I always appreciate your context from the ground in Russia. You can follow Mike Jones on I, Earl Grey on Rumble and his Telegraph channel as well. Thank you so much for joining us on Redacted today.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, thanks to Mike Jones covering that from Russia, where he tells us what people actually think there. I told you, media darling, we're about to see more of this guy.
Yes, we will. He'll be on the cover of Time Magazine or Newsweek.
I just don't know if he has the charisma, though. I look at the guy and I'm like, I don't know about media darling. So we'll see. We'll see how they spin it.
Right. Well, Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, because from what I saw, the guy just doesn't really ring as like that charismatic, you know, maybe if he put on a green t-shirt, maybe, but I don't know.
Right. One of the things that Alexei Navalny did so well is use Instagram and social media. And this guy said, well, I got YouTube. Maybe that's why that's why they know me so well. That's why I'm resonating. I got some YouTube. So he's using a play out of Alexei Navalny's book, but he does not have the sort of, the supermodel look that Alexei Navalny can have when he looks brooding and running from the government and poisoned.
And not being poisoned.
Let us know what you think of that. We have more news to get to. We're going to talk about changes to the election in Canada. Why do they need to do this? Is it because Trudeau is unpopular? We read your comments. We know exactly what you think of that. Also, is the UK coming up with a way to trick young kids into the army with a little summer camp for teenagers? We're going to talk to Jim Ferguson about that. But first,
yeah, I don't know if you saw today, UPS laying off 12,000 people. 12,000 people. And you know
Deutsche Bank, 3,500?
Yeah. You know it's a problem. And the reason they're saying that this is happening right now in the economy is because people aren't buying things. They're not shipping boxes. It's the cardboard box effect. And so fewer people buying things, fewer boxes being shipped, fewer cardboard boxes being ordered, then therefore UPS has to lay off 12,000 people, they say. And yesterday, of course, Jerome Powell speaking, and friends, we were watching it, saying, I've never seen him like this kind of unsure. He seemed very off, very weird yesterday. Rate cuts could be coming here in May. But very weird, you know, very weird data coming out right now and very weird sentiment also unfolding from the Federal Reserve and what's going to happen in the U.S. economy, which is why I would never want my family's future tied to, you know, the stock market where I have everything invested or anything like that, or have my entire family's future tied to the U.S. dollar or any dollar for that matter. Every government currency in world history has failed. That's why we believe in investing in gold and silver as a big part of our investment strategy, not as a way to, you know, see wealth growing like crazy, you know, numbers going up and up and up, like silver prices skyrocketing, gold prices skyrocketing, although that has hit, you know, nearing all-time highs. That's not the reason we do it. We do it to preserve our family's wealth. Like, we've worked for many, many years. I worked my ass off most of my life, waking up at 3 a.m. to make money for my family and work very, very hard. I don't want it all lost because the U.S. dollar loses value. So taking a few of your, you know, hard-earned dollars and converting it into gold and silver, that's what our friends over at Lear Capital can help you do. And right now, they're putting together a free $3,600 gold kit. It's totally free. It's a totally free report that you guys got to go and check out. So go to their website, learredacted.com, to get the free gold report. You can also call their 800 number. Just tell them I sent you. Here's their 800 number right here on your screen, 1-800-613-3557. And when you're on the phone with them, say, hey, Clayton sent me. I want my free $3,600 gold report, and they will give it to you. They're fantastic people over there. Patriots. These guys are patriots. Look at the thousands of five-star reviews that they have on Trustpilot. These guys have been doing this for decades. They're fantastic. They'll ship the gold and silver right to your front door, or you can have it held off-site in a storage facility that's protected under armed guard 24/7, totally up to you how you want to do it. But again, call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557. Convert part of your U.S. dollars into gold and silver to protect your family, or go to their website, learredacted.com. Well, is the Trudeau government in Canada about to open the door to ballot harvesting? Well, it certainly looks that way. Ballot harvesting, for the uninitiated, is the idea of an individual or a group of individuals go out and they collect a lot of these paper ballots. Think of it this way. They might go to a senior center or something like that, gather up 300, 500 ballots, and then bring it to a drop box or other collection point out there. In other words, a person drives all over and gathers up as many ballots as they can and brings them to these drop boxes. So what could possibly go wrong with that system. How do we know those ballots actually came from the individuals they said they came from? New video emerged from Bridgeport, Connecticut, recently showing a person dropping hundreds of ballots into a drop box at 5 in the morning. And she keeps coming back and shoving more ballots in the box. Again, I'm sure there's nothing to worry about here. Perfectly normal behavior at 5 in the morning. So what is Justin Trudeau trying to do with election reforms in Canada, and will it open the door to ballot harvesting? David Creighton has been following the story, independent journalist from Canada in Ottawa, who writes at the Post-Millennial. David, do you think, first of all, this is going to open up the door for ballot harvesting there? And then secondly, what exactly is the Trudeau government trying to do with election reforms?
What's particularly worrisome about this, Clayton, is that these are secret negotiations going on between the Trudeau government and his intergovernmental affairs minister, Dominique LeBlanc, very close friend of the prime minister, and the NDP, which is, of course, another opposition party, which just happens to be the de facto coalition partner with the Liberals. The NDP, a socialist party, outright socialist party, has been propping up the Trudeau government now for a couple of years, and they have promised to do that until the next election. So they're meeting in secret, talking about so-called electoral reform. But is this not just election corruption, election fraud? Because they're specifically talking about three things. They want a longer period of voting, up to at least 3 days. They want people to be able to vote at any polling station. And they want this to be focused on mail-in voting, which, of course, as you mentioned from the start, this to me is all about ballot harvesting. Because the more that we emphasize mail-in voting, the greater potential we have for abuse, and we have for people to be voting more than once, and for tampering to occur. We know that when these political operatives drop by somebody's house to pick up their ballots, there's no guarantee that those ballots aren't going to be tampered with when they get to the voting area. And this is what worries me. But Justin Trudeau has been talking about electoral reform since 2015. And he's been talking about totally changing the system. He's even mused about going to a proportional representation system of government, which, of course, is nothing we've ever had in Canada. They have those kinds of systems in Europe. They usually lead to fractured governments. That, of course, has been discussed in the U.S. as well. But what I think is going on here, and it's quite clear, Justin Trudeau is at the end of his political rope, not just as prime minister, but leader of the Liberal Party. And I think this is a last-ditch attempt for him to cling to power by corrupting a political system, an electoral system, that is probably one of the best in the world in terms of its integrity.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you, which is there a demand for this in Canada? I mean, when you look at Canada's elections, I don't think I ever hear of, thoughts about fraud or comments about election integrity or problems with the Canadian election. Maybe I'm not looking hard enough, but was Canada, are Canadians salivating at the idea of election reform?
Absolutely not. And in fact, I actually worked for Elections Canada during the 2015 election. I was asked to be a poll manager, which is somebody who ensures the integrity of a polling station and has everybody in place. And Elections Canada oversees all the federal election from province to province, from British Columbia to Newfoundland. So there are not 12 or 14 different kinds of federal elections. There's a unified way of doing the election. And it's very simple. People have to be citizens. They have to present their ID, which has to be a valid driver's license or other thing. And they're not allowed to vote. They have to have their face uncovered to prove that they are the person they say they are. And they only get to vote once, of course. But what makes the system so incredibly transparent is that people literally are given a paper ballot. They're pointed to a secret ballot place, and they say, put put your X beside the candidate of your choice with this pencil. The ballot is then taken from the individual by an Elections Canada employee. It's folded and put in the ballot box while the voter watches the procedure. And when those votes are counted the same night, and we get election results not 3 days later, we get them the same night when Elections Canada volunteers and workers count those ballots, and those results are then scrutinized by every political party participating in the process. So the end result is an election that's fair, that's free, and that is competently run. So there's no sense at all of fraud going on, because we all know the system is transparent and the system works. And so matter of whether or not you win or lose the election, you know it was run fairly and honestly. So there's no need for reform of the system. It works properly. And you hear a lot about the Dominion voting system and how some people have questioned it. I won't go into length about that. Right. But Dominion voting systems actually comes out of Toronto, but it doesn't have anything to do with Canadian elections, because up until now, we have maintained Canadian elections to be paper-based, fill in your ballot with a pencil, put it in the physically put it in the ballot box so you know you voted fairly and legally. So no, there's no call for Canadians to change the system.
It's unbelievable. Why fix it if it ain't broke, right? Also, you guys use identification. That's amazing that you require individuals to show identification before voting. To me, that sounds incredibly racist. So I can't believe Canada is such a racist country to require you to show your identification.
And that's never been an issue here. That's the amazing thing, because, of course, in the United States, there are calls for illegal immigrants to vote. There's objections to people presenting ID, like all races don't have access to identification. It's so ridiculous. I mean, you can't buy booze without identification. Right. You can't. And why is it suddenly it's a racial issue to have people identify themselves? It's never clicked in Canada. That argument has never been a part of the narrative here. Of course, Trudeau will make that part of the narrative. I've no doubt. Suddenly, it's going to be racist to ask people to present ID. As nonsensical as that is, Trudeau will definitely go there if he wants to corrupt a voting system that works quite well. And it's not going to work very well for him in the next election, simply because his unpopularity is so high and because he's not going to be electing as many Liberal MPs as he has in the past.
Yeah, I see no reason for Canada to make this shift. And you move towards this massive focus on mail-in ballots being sent in. I wonder, though, you know, when I lived in Montana, hardy individuals who still managed to get out even in snowstorms. I remember covering one election when I lived in Helena, Montana, in the snow. Didn't stop people from getting out there, getting the snow blowers out and getting to the polling places and managed to vote. Canada has way more snow, has to deal with much more inclement weather during elections. Has this ever been a major problem where you're looking across the country in Canada and saying, you know what, so many people just simply cannot vote because of inclement weather or some other reason, even though, you know, we have this voting period. So we need to extend mail-in balloting. We need to push this now because this is a major problem for Canadians.
Well, once again, there's been no hue and cry over the weather. Largely, elections in Canada occur in the spring, summer, and autumn, because there's some common sense about February is probably not the best time to have an election.
Right.
But Even more than that, we do have early voting in Canada. I mean, people can vote 2 weeks before if it's not convenient. And there are a couple of days set aside for that already. But the point is, it's not a mail-in ballot. You have to physically show up at the ballot box at the voting area and physically present your ballot. You have to vote in person. So we have never in Canada emphasized mail-in voting as a solution to any problem, because it simply hasn't been a problem. And that is why anybody who knows Justin Trudeau has to be extremely suspicious about this going on right now, right? Because he's got about a year and a bit before the next election. He has enough time to totally screw up Canada's electoral process, calling it electoral reform. He has enough time to make a very good system, a symbol for the world, in fact, in terms of how elections should be run. It's one thing Canada does well. A lot of things we don't do well. Healthcare is one of them. But we have a very good electoral system, and the integrity has never seriously been in doubt. So if Justin Trudeau wants to play with that system, obviously it's for his usual reason, which is self-aggrandizement, protecting his own power. No question in my mind about that.
Well, Trudeau seems to be taking a card out of the United States playbook right now, pulling a United States election reform scam. That seems to be what's going on here. Well, get ready, I guess. Your identifications up there are going to be racist and ballot harvesting. This could open the doors for ballot harvesting. We'll keep our eyes on Canada and what this means for the Trudeau government and beyond. David, great to see you. Thanks so much for this. Interesting and fascinating to hear that sort of behind the scenes on Canada's election process and voting process. Thanks, David.
We'll keep you informed, Clayton. Thank you so much again.
All right. Thanks so much, David. I mean, it is crazy when you think about it. You have this amazing election system, and you use paper ballots, and you use this great system, and people have to show their ID before they can vote. Why are you converting to mostly mail-in? That's your focus, a mail-in ballot situation and ballot harvesting situation where people can come and gather up all of these ballots and bring them in. It's unbelievable.
Is it to cheat, do you think? Could it be because
they're
of that?
They're inspired by 2020.
Right. Yeah. They're inspired by Joe Biden. They're inspired by America. They're inspired by our fantastic election system. Anyway, we've got more news to get to here on your Thursday. We're going to look at the United Kingdom and why they're feeling the need to raise a citizen army. They're trying, you know, their recruitment numbers are in the toilet. So can we get citizens to rise up and join the army? And through a trick, a little tricky scheme we're going to tell you about in just a moment. But first,
we want to tell you about our newsletter, because we haven't talked about this just yet. You can find our free newsletter over at redacted.inc. It's totally free. Nothing's behind a paywall. Nothing is an upsell or a cross sell or an undersell or any kind of sell. No selling of any kind. It's free. You just go put in your email address and authenticate it. We write about the same stories that we're going to talk about later in the show. We also link you to other stories that we find of interest that we may not be able to get to on the show. So it's a good way to sort of get a global look. It's what's happening around the world to the best of our ability, what we think we need to draw your attention to, and is a great way to find original links to the sources that we talk about, because we want to make sure that you can inform yourself, read for yourself, form an opinion for yourself, and then come here to tell us what you think about these stories, not just hear what we think. Your opinion is very important. It guides how we see things. It guides how we cover things. We really, really appreciate you. So subscribe to the newsletter. Share it with your friends. Totally free. You can find it at redacted.inc. Once again, the newsletter, totally free. Redacted.inc. Is the UK building out a citizen army? They started to say that last week. Now a new plan seems like they have a way to trick young kids into the military after they finish secondary school, or what we would call high school in the United States. According to the Daily Mail, military officials have suggested this idea of a course over the summer holidays, giving young adults a taste of service in the military, kind of like a boot camp. The worry is that once they do this, they are considered former military members. And according to the Daily Mail, that would give the defense secretary powers to recall them in case of a great emergency, which we are constantly sold everything as a great emergency. Joining us to discuss it is Jim Ferguson. He is a former parliamentary member, also the founder of Freedom Train International. Thank you so much for joining me. Do you think that I am being panicked here, or does this in fact seem like a trick to get young kids into the military?
My pleasure being here. Thanks, Natalie. No, I don't think you're worrying unnecessarily at all. I think we all should be very concerned about this. Look, I come from a long line of military service, and ordinarily, a proposal like this would be something that I would support, because the British military in particular is one of the finest militaries in the world. They have fantastic discipline and training, and it's a great way for young people to go in and learn new skills. But that's not what is the purpose behind this. We know for a fact that our government, although they're called the Conservative Party or the Conservative government, they are not conservative at all. In fact, they are a globalist entity that are serving globalist interests. And I warned a number of months ago that I was concerned about the moves being made to potentially conscript young people. And unfortunately, that's now played out. This is part of a bigger globalist agenda. The war drums are beating loudly, Natalie, and you're quite correct to highlight this article from the Daily Mail. They're also quite correct in what they're saying. Once young people go into that, they then can be drafted in very, very quickly and sent to fight the Russians, which is what I think they're proposing to do.
Right. The way they're selling it is like, hey, it's just summer camp. Like, just come after you finish high school. Just come and get a taste. See if you like it. Right. But, oh, now you have a military service number. Now we know who you are and where you're going to go next. You know, in Russia, they do impose military education in primary school, but that is part of their culture. So if this wants to, if the UK wants to sell this as something that, you know, is part of a culture, you need a whole cultural buy-in. You can't just, you know, push this in under low military conscription. Why do you think military enrollment is so low in the UK right now?
Well, you just need to look at how they treat military veterans. Many of them are homeless, suffering from PTSD. They're left on the streets whilst millions of migrants are given four-star class hotels and handouts and free mobile phones. They have no interest in looking after our military. The other thing that's very disturbing in all of this, though, is that the German defense minister recently called for conscription. And what we're actually witnessing, I believe, in the UK are globalist entities and sellouts like David Cameron, Rishi Sunak, Jeremy Hunt, who are now enacting German defence policy here in the UK. And there is a deep concern, indeed, from the channel, from your channel that I was on yesterday. It's been watched by quite a number of people within the defence establishment. And I've been contacted by somebody who has passed some information to me. Whether I simply can't reveal the source, and whether it's absolutely 100% true, I cannot verify at this stage. But there is back channel communications going on that would suggest that Ursula von der Leyen and the EU Commission have now taken command and control of French nuclear weapons. If that is true, that is extremely serious and deeply alarming. And also, we know that through PESCO and military integration, Theresa May already agreed when she was Prime Minister to hand over command and control of British nuclear weapons, the British Army, the Royal Navy, the Royal Air Force, our intelligence apparatus being MI5, MI6, our listening post at Cheltenham, GCHQ, and control of our policing to the EU. Now, I want to say something, Natalie, because we have in this country something called the National Security Act. And it's very, very heavy in that if any person in government, even a serving British Prime Minister, who breaks the code of the National Security Act, where they are working for a hostile foreign power, whatever that might be, to the detriment of British people, or that causes harm knowingly or unknowingly to the British people, is at risk of being prosecuted by criminal prosecution. Because it's effectively treason. It's in my opinion that Rishi Sunak and many members of his cabinet have already broken the National Security Act. And what they are doing is enacting German defence policy here now in the United Kingdom. They are following a globalist control command centre that is not in the interest of the British people. We don't want to go to war, but we are being led there by those that are selling Britain short. And it will. It's the head of MI6, the head of MI5, the head of the London Metropolitan Police, or somebody in that structure that has the courage to take this on and run with it. Because the other big worry is that those people that's leading those particular institutions may indeed be compromised as well. The infiltration runs deep, and it's deeply concerning.
Right. Well, thank you for your perspective on this. I always appreciate it. You can follow Jim Ferguson UK on X. He always has a great perspective, and especially as the war drums continue to get louder, again, under the auspices of emergency. So thanks again for coming on Redacted.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. Bye-bye for now.
All right. So let us know what you think of that. Would you let your kid go to an army boot camp? All of a sudden they're a veteran and they can get drafted. I'm a no. I'm a hard no on that.
Yeah.
To army boot camp. Just not as a trick again. So let us know how you feel about that and the creeping military. It's not even creeping anymore. The expanding military industrial complex. It's just there.
No, it's massive.
Yeah.
Well, we need more bodies to throw into this military-industrial complex. And we would love for you to check out our store, and we mentioned earlier, but we have our new redacted store information out right now. There you can see our No Farmers, No Food, redactedstore.com, our brand new t-shirts that we just rolled out today in solidarity with the farmers around the world who are being persecuted right now, those being arrested right now in Europe over the past 24 hours, multiple arrests of farmers who are protesting and bringing their tractors into Brussels and other capitals of countries, Berlin, and Lithuania, in the Netherlands, and saying enough is enough. Stop trying to destroy our way of life. Again, go to redactedstore.com. Check out our new No Farmers, No Food t-shirt. I love that.
And so, I think that farmer actually worked on the Yellowstone Ranch. Kind of looks like.
Does look like it.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. That's right.
Bird. And the bird agrees.
The redacted bird. The redacted bird agrees.
Is it a boy bird or a girl bird? Gone.
It's a girl. Her name's Aria.
Oh, okay. Then I'm not the only girl around here. All right.
All right, so no, Aria the bird agrees.
She's ringing in here. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. That wraps up our week. We'll have content all throughout the weekend, but we'll be back on Monday live every Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. The newsletter comes out in the morning, and we will see you again. Have a great weekend.
Bye, everyone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.